I am excited to share. I'm glad you're here. Book of Romans has been really challenging to organize my theology so that I believe biblically what I believe, and it's been a blessing to be able to study and organize what we believe so that I can present it to you. And I hope that this morning you will understand God's plan for humanity. And if you don't already, I want to thank Wendy for teaching on the glory of God. That's where I'm going to start this morning, with the glory of God. Just to reiterate some of the things she said, that we were created for His glory. Amen?
Yeah.
She said we're saved to see His glory, to give Him glory, to reveal His glory, and to marvel at His glory. To behold His glory. That's why we are born again.
Yes.
We're fallen creatures, and the image of God that was given to us at creation has been tainted by sin, and God is in the process through Christ of restoring the image of God back to us to reveal the glory to the world, His glory to the world. And Jesus prayed that in John 17, that they might see His glory and see His glory in His people, and that the world might see the glory of God and be drawn to it. And that's pretty much the subject of my message. But in case you don't know why you're saved, if you're saved, you're saved to the praise of His glory. In Ephesians, it's repeated three times. But we live as people of God to declare the praises of Him who took us out of darkness and brought us into light. That's why we live and breathe and have our being. Okay, so when Lynn says, is challenged by how she reflects Jesus to the world, we are the aroma of Christ to a dying world. The only glory of Christ they'll see is in the church, which is glorious when we live for Jesus. And that's just basically the introduction. Let me read Romans 1. I'm preaching from 18 to 32 today. Really, I should be breaking this up, but we'll try to cover it quickly with one message. So Paul just finished saying, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, in verse 16, Romans 1:16, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. It's not the power of God for salvation if you don't believe, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it, in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. God's righteousness, His justice, His mercy, His dealing with sin. And He says, the righteous will live by faith. The only way to experience the righteousness and the glory restored is if you put your faith in Jesus Christ. That's very clear. We're going to get deeper into it, but that's the message. What's also revealed is not only the grace of God in the cross of Jesus Christ, but the wrath of God. And we're going to explore that this morning. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Okay? Jesus gives righteousness. He is righteous, and we're unrighteous, and His righteousness somehow has to be transferred from Him to us. It's imputed to us. Okay? That's how He does it. That's the gospel. In a nutshell, God takes His righteousness and puts it on us. Only through the cross, friends. There's no other way. You can't earn it. Because, verse 19, that which is known about God is evident within them, for God made it evident to them. For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes, His eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse. Even though they knew God, they did not honor Him as God or give thanks, but they became futile in their speculations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools. Scripture says a fool says in his heart, there is no God.
Yeah.
Okay, that's the definition of a fool. There is no God. They exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for an image in the form of corruptible man. So let me just kind of, it's going to be hard to just preach without stopping all the time.
Yeah,
but think of Adam and Eve. Okay, the beginning. They were alone. God created man and woman in His image.
Mm-hmm.
His image.
Yes.
The image of God in human beings. Everything was perfect. The world was absolutely perfect. There was no sin, there was no decay, there was no, you know, bugs, there was no heat waves or dry spells or floods or wars or anything. There was nothing. It all came in when Adam and Eve decided to change the glory of God for something else. And we'll see what that is. Okay. Let's keep reading. And that's what he's doing here. Paul is, you know, we went through this. We've been going through it for 3 weeks now. And he starts out with saying, you guys, the church of Jesus Christ, has been called and set apart and chosen. And by the grace of God, you're in Christ. Why? Because he loves you and he's called you and he's saved you and he's put you in Christ. That's the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ, that God would reach down to a sinful, corrupt humanity and actually choose to save people at all.
Amen.
Okay, that's what he says. We are the church. The church has the role to reflect God back to the world so that they can make a decision to choose this God. So verse 23, they exchange the glory of the incorruptible God for an image in the form of corruptible man. We said we don't like the image of God. We don't like God's glory. We want to create our own glory. So we find what's glorious on earth. The birds, the four-footed animals, crawling creatures will worship anything because it's not God. Therefore, in God's righteous anger, wrath, justice, he hands us over in the lusts of our hearts to impurity, that their bodies might be dishonored among them. Okay? For they exchange the truth of God for a lie, and they worship and serve the creatures rather than the Creator. Doesn't get much plainer. We worship creatures, not the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them over to degrading passions, for their women exchanged the natural function for that which is unnatural. In the same way, also the men abandoned the natural function of the woman and burned in their desire toward one another, men with men committing indecent acts and receiving in their own persons the due penalty of their error. Just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over to depraved mind to do those things which are not proper, being filled with all unrighteousness. Okay, this is the condition of humanity that has rejected God. Unrighteousness, wickedness, greed, evil, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, arrogant, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, without understanding, untrustworthy, unloving, unmerciful. And although they know the ordinance of God, that those who practice such things are worthy of death, they not only do the same, but also give hearty approval to those who practice them. That's our society today. That's been society since Genesis chapter 3. Okay? This is not new news. You don't come to the text and fit North America into that.
Right.
This has always been humanity.
Right.
Without God. Okay? Let's talk about the glory of God, seen in creation. It is seen in creation. He says that very clearly. God, that which is known about God is evident within them, for God made it evident to them. Every single creature on planet Earth, I've said this before, is born with the ability to know that there is a God. There's a complex system of order out there. There's trees and mountains, which I saw en masse in the last 2 weeks. Incredible beauty, animals, incredible strength. The majesty of God is always on display, right? What is it? Psalm 19, verse 1 and 2. Just listen to this. Okay? You can write these down. You can ask me for all the references after. Psalm 19, 1 and 2. Great text. The heavens declare the glory of the Lord. The heavens are telling of the glory of God, and their expanse is declaring the works of his hands. Day to day pours forth speech, and night to night reveals knowledge. Reveals knowledge, okay? When you look at the heavens and you see the complexity of the solar system and the stars and why nothing falls to the earth, and you see that everything on planet Earth supplies what humanity needs for life, God has looked after every single detail of life, okay? Joy and peace and food abundantly. And what has man done? We have corrupted what God has given us.
Yes.
And we said, it's ours. We'll do what we want with it, right? God said, you shall have dominion over all of this creation. You shall use it for food and your my glory. But we say, no. Who are you to tell me what to do with this planet? This is my planet. You gave me dominion, so I'll look after it the way I want. And we are at a crisis point on planet Earth with how it's being used and how it's being abused. Okay? I mean, all this starts to make sense. But ultimately, God has given us this planet to reveal himself, creation. The glory of God is seen in creation. You cannot go to what I just went through in the west coast of Canada and say, oh my God, you're incredible. Yeah. Like, the majesty of the mountains and the rivers and the fish and the wildlife, it's just incredible to see all this living together and working together, and everything is supplied. God supplies everything. He's looking after his creation. He's Lord over it, despite what man is doing. Okay, so the glory of God is revealed in creation. Verse 20, since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, what is displayed in creation when we look? What is displayed in a human being when you think about how complex a human being is with all the DNA and the cells and the organisms and the ability to heal itself? What you see is the attributes of God. You see the majesty of God. You see the glory of God. You see his infinite ability to organize and put systems together and, breathing systems, what are they called?
Respiratory.
Like all the different systems of our body, the skeletal system, the digestive system, like they all function together. And you go, oh yeah, that's just mud. Just crawled out of a pit. We got to be lunatics. You see, we're fools to think that. It's so complex. The attributes of God, God did this for... because he's merciful and gracious and wants relationship with us, okay? And what does man do? We say, that's a lie.
Yeah.
That's a lie. That's not true. Because we can't accept the fact, this goes right back to the garden, that God knows more than us. Huh. Okay? Let me take you there. Let me take you to Genesis 3 real quick. You know, the thing about putting notes down is you don't follow them. Genesis 3. Look at verse 1 to 6. This is the fall of humanity. The serpent, the devil. Okay, even creation, even the heavenly beings were created majestically. And Satan was the most beautiful creature, you know, and he chose to rebel against God. And he was kicked out of heaven. He comes down to earth because he's got no authority in heaven. So he comes to earth and he starts exercising his authority because he's so powerful being. He said to the woman, indeed, has God said, you shall not eat from any tree of the garden? Did God say that? You shall not eat from any tree in the garden. What did he say in verse 2:16? The Lord God commanded the man, saying, from any tree of the garden you may eat freely. You can eat any tree you want, except one. And Satan says, you shall not eat from any tree of the garden.
Right.
Lie. Yeah, Satan lies and deceives. It sounds really the same, doesn't it?
Yeah.
But it's not the same. That's called deception. That's the way Satan works. It's just a little twisting of the truth. The woman said to the serpent, from the fruit of the trees of the garden we may eat. But from the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, God said, you shall not eat. So only one tree. It's in the middle of the garden. What was that tree? Verse 17, chapter 2. From the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day you eat from it you shall surely die. Okay? Friends, the whole problem with humanity is a desire to be like God,
right,
to actually be better than God.
Right.
God said, don't eat from that tree, because the day you eat, you'll know. You'll know.
Right.
And when you know, when you have knowledge, you'll want to be God. Okay? This is phenomenal. And this is exactly what Paul does in Romans chapter 1. It's all about what we do with knowledge. And it's repeated over and over again. So here's what I wrote. The problem with humanity is the rejection of the knowledge of God and elevating our knowledge above God's knowledge.
Yep, that's it.
Okay? That's the bottom line. That's why we're in the mess we're in.
Yep.
The bottom line is, we know better than God. And we don't. Why don't we? Number one, he's the creator.
Right, right.
I would think the guy who made my car knows a lot more about my car than I do. You would think.
Good example.
Well, it is a good example, yeah. But by the time it trickles down, I mean, the guy who invented it, think about this, it's very similar. By the time he gets it down to the people don't care. I mean, they're online, they're making like $40 an hour, they don't care. So they just put parts together. But they don't care about the people who receive it. So the world is broken. They take the knowledge and they say, my knowledge is better, I can do it better, and I'll do it myself. Okay, so it's all wrapped up in glory. Let's keep reading Romans 1. 21. Romans chapter 1. Notice his nature, his eternal power, his attributes, the majesty and glory of God, his character, everything is seen in creation, have been clearly seen. They've been clearly seen. Yes. Verse 19, what is known about God is evident. Okay? You need to really spend time reading the text because we can know God. We come out of this womb knowing there is a creator. Life itself is incredible. The process of becoming a fertilized egg and growing for 9 months and coming out of a mother's womb is an incredible thing that God has created to display his glory. And if you read scripture, it says God actually fashioned that baby in the womb. Okay? Every day of your life has been ordained by God. God knits you together in your mother's womb. Okay? So from the very beginning of our existence as human beings, we have eternity in our hearts. We know that there's something bigger than us. We know that we are accountable to God, and there's a complex... Look, think about yourself. Do you ever look at yourself in the mirror and say, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made?
Remember
Maybe that. Not now after 60 years, but fearfully and wonderfully falling apart, but... you know what? It is incredible that I can walk, I can run, I can breathe, my lungs work, my heart beats faster. Like the whole complex, you know, when I get sick, I get healed because my body has an immune system and all these, this army inside of me fights the invading, you know, an invasion from infection, whatever it is. And it's like, oh my goodness, I am so complex.
Yeah.
How could I have possibly come out of evolved from some slimy creature out of the mud? How is that even possible?
Right.
You see, this is what we're being taught in schools. Yeah. Getting way in my head of myself. But the humanity says God's knowledge is bad.
Right.
We know better. That's where we're at in today's society. Okay.
Yeah.
So, his invisible attributes. What has been made so that they are without excuse. Okay, there's no excuse for anybody. He's talking about all of creation, all of humanity. We are without excuse because God is knowable. Verse 21, even though they knew God, they did not honor him as God. Okay, we come out of the womb and we're created for praise. And if we're not taught, if we're not born into a family that loves and honors and thanks God, we are soon realizing that we are the master of our own destiny. Okay, that we are in control of our own lives. If we're not taught... Why does the church exist? We're this community of God that is reorganized around the glory of God to give him glory,
yeah,
to honor him and give him thanks, verse 21. But what do as humanity instead? We become futile. We become futile,
mm-hmm,
foolish. Okay? We exchange the truth for a lie. Professing to be wise, they become fools. And we exchange the glory of God for the incorruptible God, for an image in the form of corruptible man.
Right.
We worship people, we worship creatures, we worship cars, we worship sports,
money.
We worship money, like we worship everything that is not God.
Yeah.
And all of that worship is to go to one person, and we ignore him.
Yeah.
And we've actually said, we don't need you, we know better. And friends, for the last 300 years, 200 years, 100 years, we have been moving away from God, the age of enlightenment, and we said, ooh, look at all this knowledge we know. We're getting more and more, and it's advancing rapidly and more rapidly. Now we're at AI, where artificial intelligence is, whatever that means, the computer will tell us what we need to know. God is obsolete.
Yeah.
Okay? And let me just say this. If you can trace this, okay? You can trace the degradation of society the moment we started kicking God out of schools, out of every arena. You know, even the White House says, "In God we trust." But that's just etching on a wall, right? Really, do we as a nation, where there was a time, the nation was planted with biblical beliefs. Canada, sure, okay, it's a religious country at one point, but at some point as we evolve, and this is not just Canada. This is not just us now in the last 50, 60 years. This has been humanity all through. You cannot read your Bible. They're building idols like right after.
Yes.
Right after the fall. Okay? It is bent on us to not worship God, even though that's what God put in our heart. Give us Him glory. Okay, so look at what happens here. We exchange the glory of the incorruptible God for an image. Therefore, God gives them over. You don't want to worship me? Okay.
Verse 24.
Worship yourselves. You know, in the lust of their hearts and purity, that their bodies might be dishonored among you. Worship your bodies. Okay. They exchange the truth again, verse 25, for a lie. They worship and serve the creature rather than the creator. And for this reason, God gives them over. It's a judgment of God. You don't want to worship me? Okay, I'll let you worship whatever you want to worship. You want to worship yourself? Go ahead. God gave them over to degrading passions, and then it's homosexuality. Friends, homosexuality is not the problem.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
It's just a byproduct of the problem. The problem is we refuse to worship God and give Him glory and realize that our existence and our reason for being is in God. That we glorify God by living our lives for Him. Okay? So this is what happens. They exchange the glory of God for things. They exchange the truth of God for a lie. They exchange the natural order for the unnatural. Who are you to tell me, God, that it's only a man and a woman? Who are you, God? I know what's best for me. Mm-hmm. And I can have relations with whatever I want, whoever I want, whenever I want. That's where our society is today. Friends, that's where every society has been throughout history. Yeah. This is nothing new that's happening on planet Earth. Okay? The Romans were some of the worst people ever for sexual degradation. Okay? We're not in a new place. It's like the cycle just keeps going. There may be an awakening or... A reconnection with the God of the Bible, but at some place beyond the beginning, we say, even the church is there. Okay, we think about this. Now you got me going.
We didn't do it.
You did it. You did it. You're dead. We had a society that responded to the leaving the glory of God in the 50s and 60s. You remember all the movies and the rock and roll and all that stuff that was supposed to be really bad. Okay, that's not because that was bad. It's because we left God. We were slowly leaving God. So what happens? We got all these preachers and street preachers, and we're preaching the gospel. And there was that's what actually saved us from total decay as a society. Okay, so we have seen these small revivals, mainly locally throughout North America. We have not seen a true national repentance. Okay. And I think guys like Kirk, what's his first name?
Charlie
Kirk. Okay, being a born-again, spirit-filled Christian, saw that he could reach a lost generation with the truth. And so he was preaching truth. Okay, I've watched some incredible videos where he's very blunt about the gospel of Jesus Christ and what his mission is to preach Christ. Okay, and I don't think the politics, and I didn't want to get into the subject, but I don't think the politics he went into was any more than a vehicle for him to preach to the nations, okay? And God opened that door for him. And there is a revival among young people. I hear it all the time, okay? I go to Calgary, and I hear about young people coming to the Lord. And I go to BC, and I hear about young people coming to the Lord. And I'm talking to some hippie... cigarette smoking, beer drinking Christian who's loving Jesus, and he's telling me about revival in the youth in his church.
Yeah.
Okay? It's phenomenal.
Church Unlimited for the young people.
It's amazing what God is doing on planet Earth. Okay? Because of the preaching of the gospel. Okay? Which is the truth. So, God's glory is what it's all about. We exchange God's glory for our own glory. Okay, I got 1,000 scriptures. Let me just take you to a couple here. 2 Kings 17:15. Just to demonstrate what I'm talking about. 2 Kings 17:15.
The reference again?
2 Kings 7:15. I think I'll start in 14.
2 Kings 17.
What did I say? 7? 17. Thank you. 2 Kings 17:14, 15. They did not listen, but stiffened their neck like their fathers who did not believe in the Lord their God. They rejected his statutes, his covenant, which he made with their fathers, and his warnings with which he warned them. And they followed vanity, foolishness, futility, and became vain, and went after the nations which surrounded them, concerning which the Lord had commanded them to do, not to do like them. They forsook all the commandments of the Lord their God had made for them. Okay? They served molten images, calves, Asherah, worshipped all the hosts of heaven and served Baal. There's a clear example of what happens in society that says, we're done with God, we know better, we'll do our own thing. Okay, that's one of many, many examples I could take you to. It's the exchange, it happens in the mind, okay?
Yeah.
We say, God, I know better than you. This is what happened in the garden. God, if you don't want me to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you must be withholding something from
me. Right.
And I want that. And I'm going to do everything in my power. And what did God say? The day you eat that, you shall be like me. And that little seed got planted. I want to be like God. And actually, I want to be better than God. I want to be create my own knowledge.
Right.
Okay? And it says they invent ways of doing evil.
Yes, they do.
Right? That's who we are, friends. That's who we are before Jesus. So, they know the ordinances of God, verse 32. They know what God requires. People know. They know right and wrong. We have a conscience, okay? Mm-hmm. We have to say, that's verse 32. Although they know the ordinance of God, those who practice such things are worthy of death, they not only do the same, but they give hearty approval to those who practice them. Sin. Go ahead. It feels good. Do it.
Right.
Do whatever you want to do. It's all about you. Okay, that's secular humanism. That's do whatever, believe whatever you want to believe, and do whatever you want to do. That's where society is at. Friends, that's where every society has been at. I just read you 2 Kings. Okay, that was hundreds of years before Jesus. And here we are again. We don't learn anything from history. That's the saddest thing. We don't learn anything from history. We get exactly in the same cycle. We're in that cycle. Okay? God requires righteousness. They choose unrighteousness. They choose sin. They want to do so. Okay? Chapter 2, verse 5. Because of your stubbornness and unrepentant heart, you are storing up wrath for yourself in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. So, God will judge society. That's coming. Okay? There are many, many people who are turning to Jesus, but there are many, many people, as the Bible describes, who will shake their fists at God and say, I don't want to bow my knee to you.
Yes.
I don't want to do it your way. Okay? I want to do it my way, because my way is better, and I know what's best for me. It's a knowledge problem. It's a knowledge problem. Okay? Are you with me?
Mm-hmm.
Let me just show you the condition of humanity. In case you haven't seen it, this is his purpose. From 1:18 to the end of chapter 3, he's showing that all have fallen short of the glory of God. We've all sinned, and we've all fallen short of the glory of God. That's his conclusion. Whether you're Jew or Gentile or Greek or whatever religion, whatever faith, whatever nationality you are, every single person on planet Earth has fallen short of the glory of God. We've all sinned, and God's purpose in Christ is to restore the glory that was once, that had fallen from humanity, okay? Here's where we're at. 2025, North America today. Verse 9, chapter 3. Are we better than any other nation on earth? Not at all. We have already charged that both Jews and Greeks are all under sin. There's none righteous, okay? No one. After the fall, there's no one righteous, not even one. There's none who understands. There's none who seeks for God. All have turned aside together. They have become useless. There is none who does good. There is not even one. Their throat is an open grave. With their tongues, they keep deceiving. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their paths, and the path of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. What is the fear of the Lord? It's the beginning of knowledge. Think about this. Paul says very clearly, they knew, but they rejected the knowledge. Proverbs says numerous times, the beginning of knowledge, or the beginning of knowledge, is the fear of the Lord. We need, as a society, as an individual, wherever you're at with God, to come back to God exists. That's the number one thing that has to happen. There is a God. Evolution is from the pit of hell, okay? Because evolution says there is no God, okay? This is the plan of Satan, to take whatever knowledge is available, start at a young age with our children, and say, that's a lie.
Yeah.
Friends, when I grew up, I've told you this before, and many of you grew up, we read the Bible in school. I went to Catholic school. We prayed. We acknowledged God. We did all that. But as time went on, God was not allowed in schools anymore. God was not allowed in government. Okay? We have kicked him out of everything, and we are today in a society where it's just as the Bible says, we're worshiping idols, whatever your idol is. If it's not a statue, it's your car, it's your body, it's whatever, it's sex, it's drugs, it's rock and roll. Okay? Think about it.
Yeah.
If we worshiped God like we worship, name your favorite singer, okay, or your favorite football team or baseball team. If we got that excited about God, oh man, what a world it would be. So we worship everything but God. That's the bad news. And he sums it all up in verse 23. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So there's his conclusion. We've exchanged God's glory and we all fall short. And the problem is we've rejected God. The knowledge of God. Here's the good news. Here's the good news. Stay in chapter 3, verse 21. But now, apart from the righteousness of God, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been manifested, being witnessed by the law and prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all those who believe, for there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23, 24, being justified as a gift by his grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus, whom God displayed publicly as a propitiation, as a covering, as a sacrifice for our sins through his blood, and we put our faith in. God demonstrated his righteousness because in the forbearance of God he passed over the sins previously committed. Incredible truth there that, okay, we, you know, the sin is revealed, the gospel is revealed, but the way back to God is revealed, and it's through Christ. And I want to just do a little shift here, because this is your role in all of what I just said, okay? 2 Timothy 2, 24 and 26. 2 Timothy 2, 24 to 26. Church of Jesus Christ, you have been awakened, you have been revealed the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul is writing to Timothy, his loyal spiritual son, and he's telling him how to do evangelism. Now pay attention here. Verse 24 says, the Lord's bondservant must not be quarrelsome, but be kind to all. You want to win people for Jesus. Okay, you want opportunities to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. First of all, see yourself as a servant of God. Mm-hmm. Don't end up arguing and quarreling with people. Be kind to all. Don't allow them to get your anger rising up, okay? Because that won't be good. Be able to teach patient when wronged. With gentleness, correcting those who are in opposition. Watch this. The most important part, perhaps God may grant them repentance leading to the knowledge of the truth. What is repentance? It's a change of mind. The problem with humanity is the way we think. We think we're God. We think we know better than God. And the role of the church is to say, I have a Lord, and I submit to Him, and I obey His teaching. His teaching is right. Everything in this book is written for life and godliness and health and safety, and I need to choose that. And our role as Christians is to point people back to the Creator, number one, because they rejected their Creator, and say, this is what God has done in Christ to give us a new mind, to be transformed by the renewing of our mind, so that we don't partake of the things of the world, but we have this original revelation that God wanted us to have, okay? That it's about a loving God who loves people, and He wants to be in relationship with them, but we have to do it His way, okay? Not our way. And I'll keep going here. One more text with Wendy, I believe, brought up last time, 2 Corinthians 4. My point in all of this is that saying we have rejected the revelation of God, and in Christ, we have an opportunity to get it back. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 3 to 6. Even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those that are perishing. There's a darkness over the world. I mean, chapter 3 is amazing. It's all about the glory of God and the Spirit of God, restoring the glory of God to those who put their faith in Christ. But there's a darkness over the world. Why is there darkness over the world? Verse 4, because the god of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving, that they might not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ. Okay? Satan does not want anybody to see the knowledge that is necessary to be saved. Mm-hmm. It's the knowledge of a creator God to whom we are accountable, who loves us and created us for His glory. He doesn't want that. What is Satan's biggest lie? You are God. Yes. You are your own God.
Yeah.
You can do whatever you want. Sin like hell. Because that's where you're going to end up, and that's where He wants you. Because that's where He lives. Okay? Think about it, friends. Our job as the followers of Jesus is we do not, verse 5, preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus as Lord and ourselves as your bondservants. For God, who said, light shall shine out of darkness, is the one who has shown in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. There it is. Let me read it again. God, who said, light shall shine out of darkness, is the one who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. The whole mission of the gospel, if I might be so bold to bring it down to that level, is to bring back the knowledge that God had put in us, that Satan has taken away and the world has taken away. By preaching the gospel truth, we bring that knowledge back into people's hearts. Okay, the light bulb goes on and people are awakened that, holy cow, this devil in this world has been lying to me. My teachers have been lying to me. There's no such thing as evolution. There's a God who created me and loves me. And the reason He loves me is because He wants a relationship with me. And I'm choosing to live for His glory.
Yeah.
Friends, if you teach that to your child and you keep reinforcing that and reinforcing, you live for God's glory. He created you. He created you. He made you fearfully and wonderfully. You're not a mistake. Your identity is in Him. All of life is found in Him. The Spirit of God is in you and wants to awaken you and give you life and reveal that the glory of God is in you, and you're chosen because He loves you. That's the way Paul starts the book of Romans, right? We saw that. Think about that, friends. It's our duty, not only as followers of Jesus, but as parents, as educators, as disciples. That's what a disciple does. They live their lives to display the glory of God, and they preach, this is how you know the glory of God, through Christ. The greatest manifestation of the glory of God is on the cross of Jesus Christ. That God Himself would take upon Himself our death sentence so that we might have life. Okay? It's phenomenal. It's phenomenal that God would go through such lengths to kill His own Son that we might be restored and have the glory we had at the beginning before the fall. And friends, let me just be honest. We're still under kind of that fallen nature. Okay, the whole world is groaning. All of creation groans. My body groans. Okay, everything is messed up. But it's all going one place to this heavenly kingdom where you don't even need the sun and moon anymore. It just be the glory of God will illuminate. But here's what chapter 3 and 4 of 2 Corinthians are saying. Right now, we can have a taste of the glory of God in us.
Yes.
Okay? And it will shine out of us. And people will be drawn to it. We are the light of the world. Mm-hmm. And people will see your good deeds and they will glorify your Father in heaven. Okay, Matthew 5. So just think about the whole picture. Romans 1 is incredible because it puts the whole Bible in perspective. Mm-hmm. Okay, why we live and move and have our being. If you look up the preaching of Paul in the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 14, Acts chapter 17, he always brings it back to the creation of God. Okay, let me just show you Acts 17, and then I'm stopping because I don't want to go all day, although I could. Acts 17. This should be our preaching too. He's preaching to a bunch of really smart people. Verse 22, Acts 17. He stood in the middle of the Areopagus and said, "Men of Athens, all these scholars and philosophers, I observe that you're very religious in all respects. For while I was passing through and examining the objects of your worship, I also found an altar with this inscription, 'To an unknown God.' What therefore you worship in ignorance, this I proclaim to you." Oh, they're worshiping idols. God's going to say, "Let me tell you the truth." Okay? "The God who made the world and the things in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands." Right away, what's the first thing he does to all these educated, philosophical people? He brings them back to creation. "Neither is he served by human hands as though he needed anything, since he himself gives life to all life and breath and all things." God's in control. He's the author of life. He made everything. He controls everything. "And he made from one every nation of mankind to live on all the faces of the earth, having determined their appointed times and the boundaries of their habitation." Every single person on planet Earth is not a mistake. He put them there. He's the creator. If you're sitting in this room today, you're a creation of God, and he's got you under the sound of the gospel because he loves you and he wants to reveal himself to you. Why? That they should seek God, and perhaps they might grope for him and find him, though he's not far from each one of us. Isn't that an incredible statement? Anybody who's looking for God will find God. The first thing to do if you want to find God is say, "I don't know anything. My knowledge is a lie." That's what you have to say.
Right.
Okay? You have to come to that place where what I believe is wrong. And you have to discover that he is the holder of true knowledge. And in him, verse 28, we live and move and exist. My life, my reason for being, my destiny, my future, my whole raison d'être, reason for why I'm here, is because of him. That's the message we preach. Okay? That's the message we preach. He's fixed a day when he would judge the whole world in righteousness through the man whom he has appointed, having furnished proof to all men by raising him from the dead. We're going to get deeper into that. But here's the points. We want to see the glory of God in creation, even when we look in the mirror. Our whole resistance is to not exchange the glory of God for the glory of me. I never want to be my God.
Yeah.
I never want to worship anyone else but God. Okay. And the only way, if I've lost that glory through sin and rejecting God and rejecting his truth, is to turn to Christ, to repent of my ways, to change my mind, the way I think about God, and say, "God, you are the holder of truth. You are the one who has all knowledge. I want your knowledge. And I realize there's only one way back to you, and that is through your Son, Jesus Christ." Okay, that's the message. And the moment we do that, the moment we say yes to Jesus, the glory of God is restored to us. Because the King of glory, Jesus, comes in and takes residence in our hearts. Okay? And we are restored to glory. And Paul says in chapter 3, we go from glory to glory. The Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. There's freedom from trying to figure out what life is all about.
Glory.
Okay? We go from glory to glory. I got saved 27 years ago. I ain't the same person I used to be 27 years ago. I ain't the same person I was last week. Before I went on holidays, I was totally different than I am now. I got more glory. Sound like a Pentecostal now, don't you? Hallelujah, brother. So does my elder. Praise the Lord. There we go. See, every day we get closer to Jesus as we desire to know him more. John 17:3, anybody know it? This is eternal life, to know him and the one he sent. Okay? Life is found in Christ, not in anything else on planet Earth. That's the way God designed it. Why? So he would get the glory. We'll talk about this more, but that's just the foundation for the book. Thank you, Lord. You're taking this truth. You're applying it to hearts to teach us and edify and build us up in our faith. And Lord, even to take us deeper into you. We thank you for your mercy and grace, which is operating right now by your Spirit. Complete the work you start, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name. All God's people said, Amen. Amen.